presentation. In 2016-17 financial year, MDDA was able to raise 74 million in terms of revenue, and this was from various sources. 32% of the revenue that we raised was from the annual allocation from the Department of Communications, which was 23.8 million. We had a significant increase in the contributions that we received from commercial broadcast funders, and we managed to receive 45.6 million in the 2016-17 financial year. And with the continued engagements that we are having with the stakeholders, we hope that this will continue to increase to enable us to achieve on our mandate. The overall expenditure for the 2016-17 financial year was 87 million. 66% of that was for grant cost expenditure. So we were able to disburse 57.7 million to projects that were approved. This is broadcast, print, and research projects. And this is a significant increase from the 29 million from the 2015-16 financial year. And it was a very busy year in terms of managing the disbursement. So it was, although it was a positive, some of the challenges that we face with our beneficiaries is after the disbursement of the first tranche, most of these projects have compliance problems. That's where you find we have to continuously engage with them in the release of the second and the third tranches. So the default is really after they've received the first tranche, and this is where the problem occurs in terms of them reporting back to us on how they've utilized it. So we are trying to improve how we communicate with the projects, and our monitoring team will be busy with that. But the recommendations that come from the monitoring and evaluation processes is what we need to make sure is implemented. And then in terms of the overall performance, we had a deficit of 12.9 million for the 2016-2017 financial year. But this was funded by accumulated cash reserves from projects that have been approved in the previous financial year. So, for example, you know that for 2015-16 financial year, we had a surplus of 7 million. So essentially, projects that are approved from those previous years, we've now managed to disperse on them, and we've got the 13 million deficit in the current year. So we're still in the process of making sure that we conclude on projects that have been approved on in previous financial years, but that comes with the condition that they are able to successfully report on how they've utilized the funds in the previous disbursement that would have been made. Thank you, Chair and the committee. I think for in terms of our presentation, that covers it.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's the presentation. Started by the minister to the chairperson of the board and other senior managers of MDDA. Let's just engage in questions now and engage in the report. Honorable Fanda?
Your indulgence, please, Chair. The meeting was due to start at 5:30, and we started at 5:20. So Honorable Van Dijk was going to be back here at 5:30. So she's asked if we could just wait, because she was under the impression that we're starting at 5:30.
Unfortunately, she was here when we said 5:15.
Oh, is it? Okay.
When she was seated there, and we said 5:15. So let's engage with the report, members. She will join us and have all the time to ask questions. Honorable Teddy.
I welcome the presentation by MDDA on their annual performance, but few issues that I would like to raise. One is with regard to the vacancy rate and the impact that the vacancy rate has on the organization. There was one slide where you were even saying it has resulted in you spending more than $5 million over consultants. If I'm not mistaken, you were at 5.241 million, which to me is a concern, because I find it difficult to understand why can't you attend to the issue of the filling in of vacancies, especially funded vacancies. We might need to be convinced. Why is this issue not receiving attention? Because from the presentation that you were making now, I'm not yet convinced that this matter was properly handled. Because as you have indicated now, it has resulted in you utilizing consultants to the amount of more than $5 million. So there's one issue. The second one is with regard to litigation cases. I missed the explanation on the two litigation cases, especially in the area which says there are some arrangements for an out-of-court settlement around these two cases. I missed that part. I might need to be clarified on it. The last one is with regard to the disbursement of funds for community broadcast with the variance of 62%. And I'm asking myself, why do you find yourself in that kind of a situation? When people need these funds, but we have difficulties which leads to us not disbursing the funds to community broadcast. We might need to clarify on that one. I had thought there will be a slide, Chair, unless if I missed it, which talks to the representation of women, youth and people with disabilities in the organization. If we can be clarified on the status for now, where are we? Thanks, sir.
My emphasis here is that just like SIPC, MDDA need to go through a lot that AG had to say. For instance, if you go to your controls, your assurance provider, you fall under concern all the way. You've got enough stress. It should not be the source of our stress. I think the same proposal we made in SAPC, you need to come and present to us your plan of action to deal with these issues. But I thought which, if you look, for instance, in the if you go to the clear trend approach on AFS, this current financial year, the year in question, you've jumped to where you are supposed to, where you are supposed to be. But when it comes to performance information, again, 14-15 you stayed there. 15-16 you stayed there. And then you are jumping. On the finance, you were down there, you jumped up. On the performance information, you were up and you've gone down. The problem with that, Minister, is that when issues like fair results in finance are moving in tandem with the proper performance, what to call information, it looks bad. But if when you are doing well in finance, in terms of fair picture, now in performance you go down, again the reputation of fair look in finance is undermined. Because when you come fair in finance, in performance you go down, the more you look good in finance, the more you don't understand what you are doing. That's what it means. Well, you remember, they say performance is reliability and credibility. Credibility and reliability of what you are articulating, your narrative. If in finance you were down and in performance you were up, and then when finance gets right, performance goes down, there's a story there that doesn't look good, which I think you must deal with. Of course, overall audit outcomes, you are somewhere in that area of unqualified, which is fine. But these contradictions are not acceptable. Ideally, for clean audit, I know Chair has spoken several times about it. As if you have clean audit and you have not delivered, my attitude is very simple. Clean audit will always be essential. Because when your audit is clean, you are able to track what is wrong in your system. But when your audit is not clean, it's difficult to use your systems to get what we want. So I usually say sometimes the need for good corporate governance is as a result of poor delivery defects. If there were no delivery defects, you wouldn't need corporate governance. You wouldn't need to talk about risk and all these kind of things. They've been necessitated by defects in delivery. So you don't tell us I'm delivering, forget about the report in finance. But the problem is that can they move together so that the reputation is attended to. But having said all that, if you check, I've already said, if you go to controls, you are in yellow, that is consent. And then when you go to this thing, performance info, again, plan of action on those to sort them out. The other issues, one would speak about MTM, but I think this is not the platform now. Yeah. All I'm saying, let's do that plan of action, please.
We'll have to go back to the, from time to time, to the AG's report. And one of the things that takes the first share of your funding is grant and seed. It's grant and seed funding, which to me is one of the core mandates of MDDA, am I right? And if one of the findings of the Auditor General is in that area. Maybe you'll have to explain to us as to why in that core item of some of the things that you must do, there is a finding. And maybe explain to the committee the details as to why are we going wrong in your main task that you must do as MDD. So for me it's quite critical. It talks to what Honorable Kongbele is saying, because this is what, you know, this grant seat, it's like cast in the agriculture, as the person knows from that committee. CASP is money that goes to provinces for the actual agriculture. And if you mess up with that, you won't see the change in lives of South Africans. And I think it's exactly what the Honorable Member is saying. And maybe it will be necessary to explain as to why are you failing on the issue that is your core mandate. Honorable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chi. Sorry for being late. Thank you for the presentation. From our side, I just want to say that I'm really concerned about the NDDA, and I just want to know if it's only me that sees the elephant in the room. As a committee, we have reason to be concerned. We have two ministers, one saying she did not receive a report, the other denying this, so who is lying? Minister, as this report, on this report, you said that you will not take disciplinary action against the chair based on rumours. But the annual report, like the report, reflects the problems. How did the cash balance from 7 million grew to 30 million in a single year? Why have payments to non-executive board members doubled in 1 year? How is that even possible? And I just want to say that I have proof here that the chair paid herself almost 80,000 rand in 1 month, March 2017. Here's the bank statement. So this is not rumours. Minister, further, in response to written questions 1,200 and 1,201, the Minister of Communications said that the chairperson of the NDDA...
Sorry,
just to
follow you properly, is that in the annual report?
It reflects on the annual report.
Okay.
Thank
you. Tell us also, just to assist us, if you can, but if you can't, just so that we can go to the report as well.
Yeah, we actually asking what is the problem in the NDDA, and all my issues, I want to just have the opportunity, at the end you will understand why I raised them, Jim. I just want to finish. Okay, and with regard to that questions, it was said that the chair has never acted as CEO in five financial years. Chair, I've got even proof of that year, so that too is not rumours. And I want from the minister, on basis of what law was this done. And then I want to raise two issues before I make a final statement. I just want to ask from the minister if she know that the new spokesperson, Marva Scott, did he tell you that he was dealing with the NDDA earning almost a million rand within 8 months since last year September? He's the owner or the director of Hummingbird Media. And then with regard to that process, I also want to know from the chair, because this is part of the reason why these problems or money irregularities, what supply chain process was followed, as I could not find any advertising of tenders put out as expected by the PMFA for the amount over 500,000, because there was also made a payment by Hummingbird for 85,000 rand I specifically requested in written questions what contracts that company received. And they only mentioned two contracts, with the one the value of 485,000 and the other one 325,000. And then there came in another payment of 85,000 rand in the same month of the 485,000, which means that is over 500,000 rand. So there should have been gone tenders out for that. And I want to know what process was followed there. And that was in the... in the phase where the chair, as caretaker or CEO, what you want to call that, in that position, has approved of this. The other thing I also have a concern about, Chair, is that the acting CEO that was mentioned this morning was previously the secretary, and she joined through a holistic approach, the company holistic approach, and... Holistic Approach was one of the companies that was actually PG, was pointed out as an irregular contract, and the previous acting now, Donald Lepoko, he cancelled that contract as it was deemed irregular by the AG. But my concern is that when this woman was in the first went through the process to be appointed at NDDA, she was only appointed in January as secretary. The Evolva, the company that did the screens, said that she was not recommended. So I want to know how a person that wasn't recommended for secretary become the acting CEO within... If someone can explain that to me. And Chair, then I want to just end my... I want to say that the report that we received said that the, there's a lot of allegations, that the Chair didn't sign board minutes, etc., and everything not according to the NDDA Act, these various allegations. And for that reason, I really want to urge that we place the chairperson on immediate suspension so that we can do a parliamentary inquiry. I think we are in need to make sure that we know all the relevant facts. And I hear nothing about the investigation. We sit here, but no one speaks about the reports that we had and the outcome of what we're going to do from here. So I would like to get clarity on that too. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, crucial information. Crucial information that we are presenting to the committee. And I hope all those questions are noted so that at the end of the session, we can deal with those questions. But I don't want to lose the process we have started in dealing with the issues that are in the presentation. But that those questions, if members agree, let's deal with them once we finish the presentation. And if you can, Honorable Van Dijk, the proposals that you are making must be a product of what we are going to engage now. And then at the end, we can discuss as to what we need to do with that kind of an information. But I thought the trend that we have started, we finished in terms of the annual report itself. They have impact on the annual report, I agree. But I think let's take it step by step so that the questions that are related to the presentation of today are dealt with. Are we fine with that, members? Let's proceed. Questions are raised. I've raised questions. Members have raised questions. And Honorable Minister and your team.
Chairperson, are you saying that the questions that have been raised by Honorable Van Dijk, we should leave them to the end? Because if that's the case, then I'll respond.
Yes, I thought we'll need to deal with the questions that are related with the presentation first, and then we can come and discuss all those questions and conclude them.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to respond on high-level issues, and the teams will take the specific questions. I think on the issue of the vacancy rate overall, one of the processes we'd undertaken, I think the portfolio committee had asked us in our appearance in one of the quarters recently, was that when we're recruiting for the CEO, the focus of the board was to look at the CEO recruitment. But also when the plan was that once the CEO starts, he must be able to recruit his own team. So we didn't want the CEO to actually inherit a team that we're not aware, that he was not aware of. So when we had the CEO that started in the last quarter of the financial year, which is January and Feb, we then said, here are the responsibilities. We had stalled this process for good two quarters because we wanted you to be able to assemble a team that you could be working with. And obviously at that point, we were hoping that the CEO was going to be with us for a period of 5 years. So, and that's the rationale unto which we found ourselves into the vacancy, a high vacancy rate. Hence, when the CEO had left to work for Public Protector, we then said, let's just pursue the recruitment irrespective. So whoever is going to be the new CEO is going to be taking over will have to inherit whatever team that would have assembled at the board level. So that was really the rationale of some of the delays related. I think on the issue of seed funding, grant seed funding, I think the team will deal with the specifics. But however, one of the things that often happens, Chair, there are two areas. There's an issue around committed funding and there's an issue around disbursement. So the committed funding is that we will commit funding at a board level in as far as approval of projects. But once we're ready for disbursement, but we're never able to disburse a funding until the project is in a particular state. When I'm saying particular state, I mean it needs to fulfill certain things. The first one is the stability. Now, the stability component starts with the governance of the project. Does it have a board? Does it have a station manager? Does it have has it submitted previous reports? Does it have a proper, if it's a broadcasting project, does it have a proper license, etc.? So if those areas have not been filled, we're not happy with it, then we do the stall. However, let me put it this way, when the fund has been committed, they have not been disbursed, it doesn't mean the project loses the funding. We keep the funds in an investment account, and then once we do a hand-holding and support that project, that it gets into a certain point, then we're able to disperse the funding. But I think the team will give the specifics in terms of what exactly that happens. So I thought, let me just explain the difference between the two concepts, committed funding and disbursement, because they sit directly within the core of the grant and seed funding. I think the other issues broadly in relation to the supply chain issues, we have policies around supply chain issues, and I think the committee, will then comment in terms of what is the process that you follow when we are actually when we are undertaking a contract, and what circumstances do we consider when we're entering into a contract with specific providers, and that's not an area I'm particularly exposed to. I think the issue, Chair, around the performance information, I think we take the point around the alignment between fair financial performance versus performance information in terms of the credibility and reliability. But I think the team will comment on what are the specifics, what has led into this adverse finding in relation to performance information.
In other words, MDDHA, you say the findings of the Auditor General, what you are explaining may be the cause of Auditor General's findings. Is that what you are saying? when you were explaining the funds and disbursements and all of that.
Yes, Chair. So what they do is they look at the approval and the actual disbursement. So in essence, if if there's a lag that is not actually if the board approves and then there's no disbursement, so they look at the disbursement as a specific lag, and then normally then would still provide the explanation why there was no disbursement on the specific project, and then the AG makes the call whether to accept that explanation or not.
And generally the inability to disperse is caused by what?
There are several variables, Chair. I think the first one is the first that we would look at the relationship we've had with the project. So if we've had a historical relationship with the project in relation to previous funding and there were certain anomalies in the reporting, would want to delay that so that the anomalies are corrected, that's one. Then the second component is the issue around the state of the project. So sometimes between the submission, the approval, and the disbursement, a lot has happened within the project. So in essence, we'll then look at and say, now does the project in the right state for us to be able to disperse this $500,000 or $1 million? So if actually the teams would go down and do the site inspection and actually pick up that the project is actually not in the right state to receive such a funding, then we withhold until the problems are resolved. Then we'll do the disbursement.
So, Chairperson, the one question that was asked was about the CEO, because it relates to the previous year, the chairperson acting as CEO. That matter was dealt with in my first appearance in Parliament as Minister of Communications. And in that first appearance, that's when I heard about this, and it was corrected. She was read the Riot Act almost at that portfolio committee meeting. So it's not as if it didn't happen. It's true. She was acting as CEO, and it was stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go back to that. Let's clear the questions first.
Chair, maybe if I may just go previously to the issue that was raised by the chair of the MDGA, just to simplify what causes, the number of causes with regards to disbursement. When we allocate funds to projects, it's usually in tranches, and projects must meet certain criteria for them to be able to receive their second tranche or their third tranche. Those funds are already committed. However, if the for lack of a better example, if the project in at the time that they're supposed to receive a second tranche does not have a the irony does not have a co-rating board, we cannot then send those funds to that project until that project deals with its governance issues. There are a number of such examples. And that's where then we have this engagement with the AG, where they say you've allocated funds, but the funds haven't reached the project, only the first tranche, and that's where then the issue of the finding is. And in fact, that is where the board, in our previous appearance here, kept on saying we needed more interaction between the AG and the then acting CEO in explaining, because the in this financial year, the AG team was new in explaining exactly how the MDDA operates in this sector. If I may answer the litigation questions. The litigation questions, there are two matters. The first matter is an employee matter of 2014. This is even before I joined. The matter went to the CCMA, later went to the Labour Court, and the Labour Court has reverted it back to the CCMA. It is only prudent, because whoever, should it go ahead in the CCMA, whoever loses in the CCMA again has the opportunity of taking the matter back to the labor court, where it will go on a three-year cycle again. So it is only prudent, and I say this as a board member, and that we're trying to settle the matter. After all, the employee in question is employed elsewhere within government, and we think we have explained ourselves adequately with regards to what happened in the previous regime, where we weren't there when the person was dismissed and whatever happened at the time. So that's the matter, the critical matter that we need to settle, or else we'll play ping-pong between CCMA and Labour Court forever. The other matter is a supplier issue, where a supplier who clearly is used to getting work from the MTDA in this tranche of broadcast equipment disbursements thought they might get a number of radio stations. They did not, because the process internally was found to have certain flaws. So no money was disbursed. We then went back to the beginning of the process in order to have a fair process, in order to get broadcast equipment installed in various projects. And that supplier is well within their rights to go to court if they feel they should be the preferred party. And it is a matter that we'll deal with on merits. Those are the two litigation matters, and I think the question was asked, which the MTDA, as far as I know, is dealing with. I think the staff then will deal with the other questions.
Except that if you want to add to what the chairperson said, say you just want to add, not to say you want to simplify. It sounds problematic once you say, let me simplify it for you.
Thank you, Chair.
It has that connotation.
Want to declutter anything. Thank
okay.
you, Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I'd like to
just hold on. A follow up. I also do have a follow up on the issue, but it's fine. Yes, Mom Tulash.
I am not sure if I had advocate very clear to say they needed to meet with the AG so that they can inform the AG how MDDA works. Is that the case? Because the people were dealing with MDDA AG were new. Is it? Do I hear him correctly?
But,
thank you, Honourable Member. If we go back to our appearance here, which reached a certain stage of notoriety, we had issues with the acting CEO in how they dealt with the AG when the AG was conducting its work at the MDDA. When I sat in the Audit and Risk Committee to review the AG report, only then it was clear that certain things were not explained adequately. And this is why we questioned the acting CEO, why they did not explain adequately to the AG on how we work in this new AG team, with the new AG team. In fact, another issue that was raised, that I raised there, was an issue with regards to how many jobs the funds that stem from the MDDA create in the various projects. With the previous team and the AG, we had reached an understanding in how to calculate that. That knowledge and that understanding was not related to the new AG team. So when we received the report, we were also taken aback, and that's why we challenged the staff and the acting CEO with regards to this. I raised it with the AG, but it was at the final stages of the AG report. Certain things were then rectified. I think had they been more robust, we would have got to a much clearer result. So that is my response. Thank you.
Okay. Let's hear more responses.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
She was going to respond.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you want to take over HR?
No, I was just going to talk on the performance information about the finding and the movement, the negative movement in the audit opinion. And my board member has answered a lot of the question already, but it was just due to one finding that the AG said was not measurable, and it was a number of indirect jobs. This has been a KPI on our APP for a few years, and as the MDDA board member mentioned, it hadn't been raised as a finding in previous AG reports. Basically, the indirect jobs refers to volunteers working at stations and also to the people who are employed by the service providers, the equipment service providers to build the studios. The evidence we tried to produce, that we did produce, was contracts with the service providers where they said they would be using these people, this number of people, and also the project proposals from the beneficiaries to say that they would be using this number of volunteers. The AG raised the issue, and we accept it, that basically we need to monitor this. We need to actually get proof that they have actually employed those volunteers or those contractors as they said they would do. So in future we will be monitoring very closely and we will build into our contracts that we would like them to provide assigned work registers and ID numbers, etc., so we do have proof of these indirect jobs being created. But I mean, we accept that it was disappointing to have this negative movement, and we are constantly reviewing the smartness of our targets and technical indicators to ensure that we don't do this again, that this finding doesn't repeat itself.
Before you, ma'am, can what is Mr. Foss? I think we need some echo. We need some. There is echo in there. Just manipulate it one day. Just manipulate it so that members stop consulting. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to address the issue of equity as raised by the honourable member. We acknowledge that we have not prepared a slide that particularly addresses equity, but taking from the annual report on page 80, it is a fact that women at the MDDA are in the majority, especially African women. That was as of 2016-17. It is the current status even in 2017-18. However, at our management committee meetings, we've taken issue to say that as HR, we need to go out there and partner with organizations that deal with people with disability to say to them, as we advertise, send us also CVs of candidates who meet this criteria but who are in the disability category. As it stands currently, we haven't registered any of our internal staff members who are people living with disability. So it is an area that we've identified as a concern, and we are addressing it.
Continue,
Chief. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members, for the questions and the feedback. The issue of our the issue that the Auditor General has reported to the committee, we have taken note regarding that on internal control and the internal control system. So we are and will present in the next meetings, Chair, the audit action plan that we are putting in place to improve the integrated performance of the entity. So from financials to performance information to records management, and also to make sure that all the assurance providers play a critical role in making sure that they give feedback and oversight in the delivery of our mandate. And then I'd just like to add on the element of the disbursement and why it is low. If members can turn to page 23 of the presentation, well, this is just in addition to what has already been shared. But note that for community broadcast in this past financial year, we have approved 54.6 million for community broadcast projects. So now what happens in the approval process is that there are certain line items that the approved grant is demarcated to. So for example, there will be an allocation for rent, an allocation for the stipends, an allocation for the website hosting. So in terms of the reporting after they have received the first tranche is where most of the compliance challenges arise. So now it is the process that we take to say before we can release further funds, we need to engage with these projects to make sure that they've reported correctly on how the expenditure was supposed to be spent. So the main dynamic here is it's a deliberate focus that the entity has taken to fund projects that are mainly found in the rural areas. So there's a bit of a gap in terms of capacity and the skills required to report correctly. So we are busy working on this to make sure that the training and development and capacity building interventions are implemented, but it will take some time, and it's a process that we are currently committed to. And then I think the other questions will respond at the end, Chair.
Okay. I have two hands. Honorable Kalako, is your hand up, Mama Chop? Oh. Yeah.
You have noted me, yes.
No, Chair, mine, Chair, is not that much on the report. I don't know whether, Chair, we are at, because the issues raised by Honorable Member Van Dijk, there are very serious issues of capital. And I think, to me, I don't know your process which you were trying to direct us, whether we have exhausted that, because I wanted to get in this part, which I think to me is more important more than the, because what she was raising is based on this, the investigation report, which of course was done a year, 2 years ago. So with your permission, I will be guided by you, Chair, on that.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I agree with Honorable Kalako, but I was just curious with the last part of the report that says, having noted the fact that you have been in the projects that the board is reporting about, of course, during this financial year, and I hope they do have a copy of that report that talks directly to the issues of disinvestment and so on. So I was just worried with the last part of the response that then says, we are busy with the empowerment and what? But it's going to take a lot of time. I got very worried. Because while it is going to take a lot of time, the money is being sent to those bogus projects. And the AG is picking this up. And there isn't much of a commitment from the board and the executive. So I just wanted to just, especially the board, if they can tell us in one sentence whether they have ever been in the projects that they are funding, and whether they have familiarized themselves with the report that we presented. And I'm very worried, Minister, with that response in a portfolio committee that says, for us to be able to make people to account on the money that we're giving, it's gonna take time for them to be able to do that. So for now, Father Christmas, Sia Pisana. That's the conclusion I can make from that statement. Thank you. And Suarez.
Sorry, I will give other members from Machoba, but I will go back to Honorable Kalako's point, because most, he's right, that is why I was saying, let's deal with the two reports at the end. You remember there is a report of 2015, was it 2015? That the deputy minister raised in the meeting. Is it 2015 report? And then there was a report, investigation report again, that minister promised to give us by the 19th. And those two reports are circulated to members. All of us, we got those reports, I think, by Friday or something. I wanted us to deal with those documents, those reports, later having probed questions on the annual report. And then I can come back to them once we're done with that. Because all of us, as we read, there are serious issues that need the decision of the committee after discussion anyway. I thought we must do that first, and then we'll come back to the two reports later. Deal with the presentation first and finish, and then come back to that one, Honorable Kalako. And then Honorable Machoka.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation from the department. Also, thank you to the qualities of leadership from the minister. Chair, I just want to direct my question to the minister. It's not a question more than to a clarity. I think in a 1 year, we have acting CEOs. I think the last one, the current one, is the third CEO, if I'm correct. When are we going to solve this opening of this CEO so that we can have a permanent CEO? Because if I read here, a new CEO was appointed in the 1st of January 2017. Then immediately, he left the agency at the end of February. And we had that one, Mr. Donald, and we do have the other one now. Can't you make means, Minister, even not beyond December, to have a CEO, not the acting CEO? Lastly, Chair, on my point of view, you know, I'm worried about that statement of the bank of the of the MDVA. I think we have another bigger elephant in the house. If I'm correct, I can question my colleague to say, where did you get that statement of the bank of MDVA? That means one day we will have the statement of the parliament. So I'm really worried, Chair, and if we agreed in an investigation, we can start there to say, where does that statement came from? That's my view, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. On the presentation, members, can we finish that part? Because I want us to finish the presentation and then go back to the two reports that we went through over the weekend. Nothing? If we have nothing, if we are done with the presentation, are we done? Are there hanging questions at Chairperson? Yes, okay.
Thank you, Chair. I think on the issue of the whether, I think one is empowerment model. I mean, amongst the key things which we reported ALAP in one of the minister's reports was that we had stalled the capacity building because we needed to do the social impact study. We have the social impact study. Now that we have a curating board, the impact study will be approved. We have a board meeting sitting this Friday, so it will be presented then. So in essence, we'll be able to understand what type of intervention specifically that is evidence-based in how we support the project. I think the second issue is that we had committed to a new monitoring framework to particularly address the issues that Honorable Dolashe is raising on the project, because we've recognized that our monitoring framework model is very weak for us to be able to actually pick up whether when we funded the projects are actually really working. So in essence, we want to strengthen that area both from a framework perspective but as well as from the team internally. I think the other issue that she's raising is the issue of the board site visits. The board took a decision 2 years ago to ensure that we do site visits of projects. Of course, the difference is that we get a list from management in terms of what projects that we should be visiting. So we do visit, and I think part of the reasons why Honorable Van Dijk is probably astonished at the high board fees is that we do that work. It's both the board site visits that we do in our projects, but as well as the imbizos. In the financial year, if you can look at the imbizos that we've attended in the year that we talk, I mean the year that we're talking about. So, and in essence, normally when we do board site visits, we do a report and we feed it back into the board in terms of what type of intervention at a project level that is required, instead of entirely relying on a report that gets submitted by project staff or management.
No, I think we are done with the presentation. We will then go to the questions emanating, or we'll go to the two reports. Are we done with the presentation questions? With the questions in the presentation? Okay.
I didn't properly hear with regards to my question, the board fees that doubled. I didn't hear the answer on that, what the reason was for that.
Go to the annual report, this thick one. It's page 85 of the annual report. Am I right, Honorable Van Dijk? Are you referring to that page? Page 85 of the annual report, where the board meetings are tabulated, who attended which meetings, how many times, and all of that? Are you is your question based on that one?
The amount of the board fees doubled from 554,000 to 1,181,000.
Which page is that?
It was just my, I just added all my calculations. That's what it comes to.
If you look at the annual report, the thick one, the narrative one, page 85 lists members of the board and how many meetings, but they are also former members of the board in that report. They are also former members who are not necessarily now, but this is the past financial year. It tabulates who attended what and how many times. I thought you are referring to that page. You just calculate all board meetings attended.
Sorry, Chair, we can continue, then I will just find it.
Because because I wanted to say now, maybe if the question, Honorable Van Dijk, relates to the report that we wanted from MDDA, the two reports. Let's wait until we get to that. Is it that not correct? Let's wait until we raise those issues when we discuss those two reports. If we agree, honourable members, and we're done with part of the presentation, and then we'll come to this thing. Do we agree with that? Can we break for 5 minutes? There is tea and coffee and water. Break for 5 minutes. After that, we deal with the two reports of the investigation report.
Speaking. I received a missed call. Yeah, I phoned earlier and I'm not too sure. I left my contact details and he phoned me again afterwards. But I'm just stuck in a meeting, so I can phone you when I can speak. It's Hector. Okay. Alright.
Gracias. international, ngikubukela iBrazil nathi Chile neSpain. Not the same. It's gonna be a very, very hot case. No, not so. Let's say although it's important.
So who do your quality check? Or you there's nobody who's responding
in the report.
Mm.
Type editor. So when I type a report, then I submit to an editor.
Mm.
They go over it, fact check everything.
Mm.
The previous notice on there.
No, okay. Come on. From minister now, it's no problem for you.
Because that was 14th. What's the date today? It's almost a month in a few days.
Yeah, so it's already
there. So if there was anything wrong, it would have been edited by now already.
Okay.
She wants it now in here.
No, but yeah, I'm going to give it to her now. Because they're going to deal with it then. You've already put the minutes of the set.
Hmm?
You've already put the minutes of I thought maybe you've already put the minutes of the set.
Third
of October. Oh, pre
when is 5th?
Oh yeah, it should be.
No, it's 5th. It's not up yet. I'm busy with that one still.
Oh okay.
Then I go back to office and I'm gonna submit 5th. Because I'm busy with the summary right now.
Yeah.
Once I submit the summary, then I give it to me. Then by tomorrow morning, should be
up. How much is this premium?
Yeah?
The premium, how much is it?
I'm not sure. Just check on that. I have no idea because I have free access. So
Oh, yes, yeah. Or maybe I'll phone from you.
But I think there should be a colleague if you have free access. We can just use their account, right?
No.
One of your colleagues must have premium access.
Yeah, but I tell us a couch over the staff's boy.
Okay, let me just go print this.
Alright.
Okay.
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 Members, and do things properly. We are going to allocate time so that we can
finish and go home. I'm not going to announce the time, but just know that I've allocated time to this discussion. Members, you had two reports that you said we must get from the ministry. Safe to put it that way. And the ministry gave us two reports. One report that was produced during the time of former Minister Mtambi, and the report that Minister promised. Can you close the door, please? That Minister promised to give us by the 19th. So we received those two reports last week. We circulated the reports to all members after going through them. And members, surely they received those two reports on Friday. Am I right? Friday. Circulated on Friday. Just to be sure, because I said those reports must be circulated on Friday so that members can have time over the weekend and the Monday as they are driven to meetings. As members are driven to meetings, they can read the documents. Friday, do you have the time? Yeah, Friday morning after 11, we sent the reports to all members. Yes, when I go to a meeting over the weekend, I'm being driven by my son. Yes. So when my son can drive, I cannot drive. I sit there and read documents. So that's the driven I'm talking about. So the reports are with the members, and now we're going to discuss those reports, as Honorable Kalako suggested that we must do. Because I really didn't want to get into those issues that Honorable Van Dijk was raising from the report. I didn't want us to go there before saying this is the report that we got, because our office was instructed by this committee to do that. We'll start with the discussions. And members, you are free to say, having gone through the document, these are the issues that are raised in the document, and this is the way forward that I think, because I will get all this from all of us, so that at the end we can say, here are the issues, this is what we think we must do. I'll start with Kalako, and then go to Honorable Fandam, and then go to other members. Honorable Kalako.
No, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Based on this report, Chair, and the investigation, because here, I think we are dealing with the investigation, which in the last meeting the minister said he was not aware of the existence of this document, but as she promised that she will make a follow-up and make it available to us also. Chair, I think things which are raised here, firstly in the investigation report around governance, are very serious areas. And as you will see, the investigating team, as they are reporting here, of areas which they couldn't reach precisely because of in some of those areas, lack of information. In some of them, as they are pointing out, there were no minutes which backed the decisions taken by the board. And in all issues which are tabled here in the report. So, Chair, I would want to really agree and propose here that we need as a committee further investigation on this matter raised. Whether they will take, we can maybe discuss how, what form does that investigation by the committee takes, but we'll need that to do that, so that we dig deeper to these allegations, which are outlined here, around many issues. In fact, the report itself at the end proposes that, that there must be a further investigation of these matters, because as they admit, they have dealt with issues permitted, of course, by the time they had them, on the surface. They need to, matters need to be digged deeper. So I will propose, Chair, I don't know what form must we actually as a committee probe this investigation. But I think another element which comes in there, but whilst the investigation is, I'm not suggesting that the board be suspended or what, but whilst my proposal, whilst the investigation is actually taking place, Chair, I think the minister, I know it's not your prerogative, the president appoints the chair, but I think this committee can relay that message to the president. In view of this, the chair at the moment, temporarily, not be removed, but temporarily to be relieved of that duty at the moment. So, but what form it takes and the legalities of that, I think this is what we as a committee. But definitely we need some investigation here, in whatever form, so that we satisfy ourselves as a committee and we close this total. So, Chair, that was my proposal.
Mr. Shank, it's a committee discussing now, discussing the two reports. So listen to what the committee is discussing and taking a decision.
My apology, Chair. I just didn't know which report is being referred to. Thank you, Chair. Sorry.
I said, you now know, because I said there was an investigation report. Is it a Manyi report? It's a Manyi report, I think, of 2015 or something. You were not there. You were there. I think you started in 2014. It's a Manyi report. The one that the deputy minister in our meeting spoke about. Remember? The second report will be that of, if you remember, the minister in the report, in the meeting said that report, not the 2015 report, the report that he has done or was doing will be read by the 19th or so. Those are the two reports we're talking about. It's the Manyi report and the report of the current minister. Honorable Van Damme.
Thanks, Chair. Just to respond to the points raised by Honorable Machoba about where we got documents from, as you know, there are staff members at the MDDA who are seriously concerned about the conditions at that entity. They provide those documents to us as whistleblowers, and we fully intend on protecting those whistleblowers. We will not be revealing who they are. They are whistleblowers that have revealed serious misconduct at the MDDA, and we were right to raise what is contained in those documents. And then to speak to the points that Honorable Van Dijk raised earlier, which, by the way, while she was talking about serious issues, about serious mismanagement, the chairperson and advocate Shishange were smirking and laughing. Maybe they think they are untouchable, or they think we as this committee were big jokes and must just laugh when we're talking. I found that very, 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 very disrespectful from them. And then, in terms of the MDDA Act, a board member ceases to be a board member when they conduct when they're found guilty of misconduct. Now, remember at our meeting in Stellenbosch, we asked repeatedly to the chairperson, have you at any stage acted as the CEO? No, I never have. She was vehement that she has never, one, acted as the CEO, or two, received any remuneration in that regard. Now, we have evidence that she signed documents as CEO, received money, a salary as CEO. That, for me, constitutes serious, serious misconduct. She lied to us as Parliament about her role at the SABC, and that is something, at MDDA, and that is something as a committee we must take serious exception to. In fact, there was a response to a parliamentary question from Minister Rolo, where the similar question was posed about whether or not the chairperson has ever acted as CEO, and the answer in that question was also no. So I don't know whether the chairperson also misled the minister or what the situation was there, but now we have two instances where we were misled about whether or not the chairperson acted as a CEO. Now, I agree with Honorable Kalako that due process must be followed, that there must be an investigation. And my proposal is that while that investigation is happening, it can be we can debate as a committee what that should be. It could be a parliamentary inquiry. We could ask the SIU. We can ask any other agency to look at that and conduct the investigation. But while that investigation is happening, my proposal is that in order to prevent the chairperson from interfering with that investigation, she must be suspended to allow for that investigation to happen. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Kongwela.
Probably what one would propose is what then needs to be dealt with are the nuts and bolts of the process. Because what's clear, everything that has been said here in every document is an egg on the face of the portfolio company. No one is going to take us seriously in this matter. So the two members have spoken, I think, all I'm saying is your leadership can assist in helping maybe with a way for other members of the committee sit down, tighten the process, table be up before us. Not all of us sitting down. We're legal people assistants on the table of the process. But all what we're saying, we need to establish facts on all these things. Once the facts are established in a due manner, then we're able to make informed proposals to the committee. All I'm saying, propose that yourself, probably we can come with it. Two or three members of the committee sit down, tighten the nuts and bolts of the process.
Do you want to further, you know, members who have taken a decision to investigate what is happening in MDDA as the committee. And I'll be reluctant to conduct that investigation in the meeting here. I hope you get what I mean. In the meeting right as we speak, deal with the investigation. I think we need to go back and arm ourselves legally on how to go about that investigation. Because once we start saying this and that, we're starting the investigation. And I think we must not get into that. You're insisting, Honorable Van Dijk? Go ahead.
Chair, I just want to raise the fact, the proposal from the Minister in the report from Minister Dorodlo that says that she actually...
Honourable...
Dorodlo.
Minister who?
Dorodlo.
No.
Sorry, Minister, that was not intentionally. I speak very quickly, or fast. She actually proposed a full forensic investigation to be instituted urgently to look at irregular expenditure and all contracts that may not follow. And then she says that this will be done by...
Honourable Van Dijk, that's the minister.
Just hear me out. She suggests that it is done by internal audit unit and the NDR with the assistance of DOC. And I want to just propose that we do not do that because they actually failed to prevent the allegations and they cannot investigate themselves. Thank you, Chair.
Please don't respond to it, Honourable Van Dijk. The point is not made because we have agreed here that the committee will embark on investigation but will get legal services to assist us as to what process are we going to take. Honourable Dolasha.
Thanks, Chair. I suggest that yourself, Honourable Kalago, Honourable Van Dam, the minister give us his legal people, the parliament does the same, small committee, look at the matter, bring it to the committee, as we have just proposed. Because if we say the committee must do that, it's going to be too tedious. If I'm putting a suggestion here, Chairperson, this is a process, then you'll bring back to us a report, having been informed by the minister and his legal people, our parliamentary legal people, yourselves, then the process going forward. Thanks, Chair.
Before you, let me, so that we don't delve into that, I think the concrete proposal is that Honorable Kalako, Honorable Van Dam, and the chair of the committee should form part of the of the process so that we check the legal parliamentary legal services. Let's spare the minister and the department on this one because it's a committee thing. So till now we can access or we can employ the services of the legal services, parliamentary legal services. And then we take it from there because we'll come back to the committee and report. This is, and it must not take time. We'll come and say, this can be, by the way, reverting back to the committee can be this week. I'm not sure when we're meeting. We're meeting tomorrow at 2. We're meeting tomorrow at 2. On Thursday, we are interviewing. Is it ICASA? We're interviewing ICASA. So we're tomorrow and Wednesday, tomorrow and Thursday, to come back to you and say, this is the proper process to follow. Yes, Honourable Fanda.
Thanks, Chair. I'm happy to do that, but I thought I must also just mention what the legislation requires. With the SABC, it's Section 15, I think, of the Broadcasting Act, which deals about how a removal of a board or an investigation into a board happens. That process is discussed in Section 6 of the MDDA, but I'm happy to meet with Honorable Kalako. And I suggest we do it.
Honorable Kalako, Honorable Van Dam, and the chair of the committee. We'll sit and decide after this meeting on what process to take in terms of getting advice and all of that. Very clear, there is no department in this matter. It's a committee investigation. And everything else will emanate from that process. MDDA continue as they are. Until we say tomorrow, Thursday, this is what we are going to do. And we'll take a decision at that point as to what we are doing. Seven. Minister Dodo.
Chairperson, I just want to deal with myths and demystify them. Much as I did say that I do not act on gossip or rumors, I repeat that, I do not act on gossip or rumors. That's why I went ahead with the investigation that didn't go as far as a forensic investigation, that has come out with recommendations that might be inadequate, but they call for an investigation none the same. But to go back on the report that I apparently received, which is also not true. I only received this report after we had that meeting of the portfolio committee. It is fact, it's fact that I cannot run away from. As soon as I got that report, I acted on that information. And before I got the report itself, I had already instituted a departmental inquiry, kind of, so to speak, that report of the 29th of September. So it's not as if I've been sitting on my laurels and no work was done with regards to the MDDA. But I want to draw to your attention, and it might not be part of the report that you have sight of, proposed advice, and also take into account that this report was commissioned in 2015, finalized in September 2016.
Let's hear you.
Why the committee process and the proposed way forward? Why in a committee process we've proposed the way forward? We're not asking anyone any question to clarify anything now. The second issue, we've got no power to prescribe what type of investigations must happen in the department. We are proceeding with our process. And I would therefore, on that basis, request the minister to leave our process in the manner we proposed. I don't think we should engage in that manner. The problem is that what's going to happen now? She will raise issues, and then we end up asking questions, and then we start a process which has not started. The committee has taken a decision.
No question about that. Minister?
Chairperson, I'm not prescribing to the committee on what to do or what approach to take. I am responding to issues that malign me. That malign me. Because I am trying to say to people, this process began long time ago. It was not finalized. You probably sit with a document that is incomplete. Because further to this document that all of you have, is another document that says proposed advice to Minister of Communication on the best way forward to proceed with the matter of the MDDA board chairperson. It's an addendum to this report that you all have, and I'm not sure if you have that addendum.
Can we, in the process of preparing for the investigation and the actual investigation, look at all documents that are available in front of us so that we can come up with something that is objective, discussed by the committee and all of that? Can we walk in that, on that path? And Honorable Tsedi, Honorable Tolasha.
My understanding, Chair, is that the subcommittee of the portfolio committee is being requested to sit and define the process of this, what nature this investigation was taking. Naturally, when the investigation takes place, all the relevant documents that will assist the investigation will be dealt with. So I was saying, Chair, to me, that process takes care of everything.
Teddy?
Chair, I think it's correct that we move in the direction that we have already agreed upon. Because otherwise we'll be tempted to start with the investigation, something that we must avoid at all costs. For now, let's agree that we have set up a team that is going to look into all the nitty-gritties in terms of how do we take the process forward. We must avoid being tempted to start the investigation now.
Chair, I agree with what the honourable members are saying. I understand where the minister is coming from. Having received reports, she needed to explain some of the things on the reports so that we can get to understand whether she had those documents, what was her, or what it is, her attitude on those. But she knows for a fact that she cannot stop this process, because these documents were presented in the last portfolio committee where she could not really speak on them. I think she was just trying to do that, because if we had this item only on the agenda, she could have been allowed a situation where she would speak on those reports. Then thereafter we then discuss. But unfortunately, this matter came and it was informed by many things. We then have to start by the way we started. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. She will still be there if we need her and the further information about the things, because she still is the department. She still has to give some information and guidance on how we should be dealing with issues. I think let's all be comfortable, because we need that from her to say, when the Deputy Minister presented a different report, what is your take as a responsible person, because the buck stops with her. I think she was trying to do that. I think we are fine now. Let's proceed, Chairperson. Thank you.
We're done with this, but I must summarize it. I must summarize this part of the meeting so that there is no confusion out there. Where is the communications person of Parliament? Sometimes we'll have to make our own statements as the committee. Members, we agree that Honorable Kalako Van Dam and committee chair will go out and look for advice on how to proceed with the investigation. In doing that, we'll request legal services of Parliament to advise us so that we walk carefully on the matter. Two, between Wednesday and Thursday, the three members will come back to the committee and inform the committee as to how we're going to proceed in terms of the investigation. What shape is it going to take? And in that meeting, whatever route we are going to take in terms of investigation, we'll start then to say, this is what we are going to do, and all of that. As we do all this work, the secretary of the committee will have to collect all documents that will assist whatever investigation. One, the reports that were circulated to members, the two reports, all documents that the minister wants to give us in relation to this matter will be collected and be used in the investigation. Now, as we do all that, the minister, let me not say the minister, the MDDA board works as it's supposed to work. The chair, the members of the board remain as the committee remain until we come up with the result of the investigation. I'm trying to go to that question that was saying suspend and all of that. I don't think we must go that route. I'm not sure if we have we have powers to do that. Point of order, Honorable Kumba.
Maybe I come across badly. I think I'm happy that Honorable Tulasha clarified what the minister was trying to do, and I think I understand that. I had no intention of disrupting the minister. But what I want to say, Chair, the advisability of what must happen to the Chair must come with yourself in these 1 or 2 days where you'll be investigating. Whether the Chair stays, what I'm saying is that how everything must be done must come out of that. Let's not have a discussion.
I'm closing this thing. You see, we have media who can pick up one issue that was said and run with it as if it's a decision. That is not a decision of this committee meeting. We haven't decided in that fashion. So, we're coming back to the committee to say, this is how we're going to proceed, but things in MDA stand. Honorable Fundy?
Chief, my only concern is that that also gives the person the opportunity to tamper with information or with it's just something to consider.
I think we are very clear on this matter. We are done with it. Between tomorrow and Thursday, we'll come back and report what route we're going to take in terms of investigation. Honorable Sadi.
No, I think I'm covered with your summary, Chair, because to me, in the next 2 days or so, there should be a clear direction that we are taking around that particular issue. And to me, she must be rest assured all the issues will be taken into consideration when that team that we have put together comes back to us in the next 2 or 3 days.
Are they there? Members, the secretary will read. The secretary will read because I as we're proceeding, I was summarizing the decisions of the meeting. Both the SABC and MDDA. There are cameras here. You know, all what we're saying is out there. Even those who are consulting are out there. So I just want to read what I have summarized, both SABC and MDDA. I will request the secretary to do that, because all that is in his computer. Just take us through, Secretary, and you must state that the summary is the chairperson summarizing for the committee. You are not a shadow chair yet.
Thank you, Chairperson. To summarize your recommendations for SABC, it was that the committee would engage with the SABC 8 and BIMAU on the concerns that they have raised. The two bodies would be invited to appear before the committee, subject to the provisions of the committee program. The committee resolved that the department and its entities must present their plans to mitigate the Auditor General's findings. The committee also resolved that the minister should ensure that the department's entity oversight directorate plays its role on overseeing the entities. The committee resolved that the minister should ensure that the department and entities consistently respond to issues raised by this committee. The committee resolved that the SABC should appear before the committee to brief it on how it would mitigate the decline in sponsorships. The committee resolved that the minister should make available the document that was presented to the Standing Committee on Finance, and that the minister should fast track the appointment of executives at the SABC. In regards to the MDDA, The committee had resolved that they should also just come and present. They should also come and present a plan to mitigate the Auditor General's findings. And in regards to the last point of discussion, was that the committee agreed that Mr. Maxegwane, Mr. Maxegwane, Mr. Kalako, and Ms. Van Dam will seek advice on how to proceed with the investigation. The advice would be sought from the Parliamentary Constitutional and Legal Services Office, and the three members would report to the committee between Wednesday and Thursday on how the investigation would proceed. And in the meantime, the committee secretary will collect all the information that will assist with the investigation. And the board and its members remain until the committee has taken its next decision. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. That's the reason why I wanted all members to be alert, Honorable Kumbela.
I think the summary is okay, Chair. My worry is that, remember when we say, Chair, the department must come and present the plan of action on how they are going to deal with all the gaps that have been found in the annual report and so on. There should be time frame there, because that takes our oversight work to a high level. So time frames are going to be very important. I think we shouldn't leave without clarifying that.
Any other of our three things? Honorable Kungbele, can you repeat what you were saying? I'm sorry, I was reading a note.
We've been consistently saying both SABC and MDDA, the oversight unit, all the entities that are reporting in the annual report. We need, in a short space of time, the department to come and say, having met you as a committee, you having analyzed and picked the following issues, we are reporting a plan of action on how we are going to deal with this matter. And then after that, we've got a clear framework within which we are going to call them to give us a progress report in dealing with those. But coming back for the first time, that's the time frame I'm worried about.
Maybe the proposal will be in order, but I think let's go back to the issue of SABC 8 terminus, because I think we're saying BIMAU and SABC wrote an open letter, and then we must call them. But it doesn't close the door of, particularly in SAPC, because we said so when we were there, it doesn't close the door of any in SAPC, as you decided when we were there, to conduct us and be heard. I don't think it closes that, but I think we must also emphasize that in our summary. I think the minister raised that, and I think we must not forget that, because, by the way, this is what we said when we were in Auckland Park. I was there for the first time in my life. Honorable Sid,
there is one other part that we might want to tighten a bit, yeah, in the summers, because if we say the 3% task team will consult with parliamentary services also. Yes, we must not only be restricted to the parliamentary legal services, because if we go beyond, having not captured it there, it might be a bit problematic. Maybe my suggestion would be consult with your legal services and any other relevant bodies, something like that.
Honorable Fanda, are you covered? Is the summary covering all what we said?
Yes.
Minister, you so that we are together. This is a committee, so we want everybody to be comfortable with the summary. Minister, do you have something?
With that last proviso, I'm happy. Thank you.
On this matter, we are done. It means the three-member team must work flat out until we come back for a report. Tomorrow we are dealing with Brand South Africa. I wish we can get this advice tomorrow morning. Will you be part of Brand South Africa? Will you? Yes, I know they must tell you where to go. I think Honorable Kalago, if you can, and Honorable Fanda, we can deal with this thing tomorrow morning. In fact, now we must check legal services, if you can meet them before they go home and talk about this today, so that tomorrow we can report something concrete. That's how we put the matter to rest now, the MDDA matter, until we come back and report back. No other stories. I'm reminded of the interviews on Thursday. You have the summary of CVs. I don't know if you do have the full CVs. You have all those documents. There is that guide that we must get, and if we can get that tomorrow, Condon Advisor, it would be helpful. Please, members, can you bring those documents on Thursday? Because Parliament employs secretaries for you, even if you are three in one secretary. You still have a secretary. So that we don't come here and say you cannot carry the documents. We have a meeting with Brian South Africa at 2 p.m. tomorrow. That committee by 1 o'clock, is it not done? That's why we're starting at 2. We want you in that meeting at 1400 hours. That's what we're going to do, members. The media person is there. I'm going to go through the statement after this meeting that will be out there. There are so many people who want interviews. You can talk, but not outside what we're discussing. We are done with this meeting. Where are we meeting tomorrow at 2? We are going to S12A tomorrow at 1400 hours. Where are we going, class? We are going to S12A tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Yes. Yeah, I think we can safely attend the meeting now until we meet at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Thank you very much, members. Thank you very much, Minister, and your teams. And Kalako says, where is Kalako? Can we contact the legal services, or they want a letter? Oh, yeah. 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 Tomorrow morning at 9. What is the statement?
Thank you.